Well, this is always one of my favorite times of year because, not just because of Christmas and not just because of New Year's and all the college football that happens then, it's also one of my favorite times of year because this is the season that my wife, Diane, and I celebrate our anniversary. And in just about a week and a half from now, we'll celebrate our 17th anniversary. And I know for some of you that is like small potatoes because you've been married for a million years, but for us, it's something important to celebrate because things are going pretty well in our marriage right now, but it was kind of a rough start at the beginning there. You know, the wedding was great and fantastic, and the honeymoon, boy, the honeymoon, I probably shouldn't say much about the honeymoon. It was fine. And the problems kind of started, I guess, when we got back from the honeymoon and we faced some of our first issues as a young married couple. See, when we first got married, we lived in a single-wide mobile home up in a beautiful spot in Oakhurst. And I had, I'm not lying, it was beautiful. And I'd lived there for about 4 months by myself before. I'd moved in and gotten all settled, and it was the only time in my life, and only ever, never has there since been, a time when I've lived alone, those 4 months, the only time. So I took full advantage of it. I mean, I put my stuff all out, spread out in the mobile home, and got everything put in just the right spot. You know, I had it just the way I liked it. And in the bedroom there was like this full wall was a built-in and this tiny little bedroom. But it was perfect for me because I could put all my stuff in there. I had a spot for my old T-shirts and my new T-shirts, you know, my nice clothes and my work clothes. I had a special spot for my new jeans and my old jeans. I had a spot for the shoes I wear and the shoes I never wear, you know, but you still keep. I had everything just in the perfect spot in the whole house. It was perfect. But as the wedding approached, I knew that I needed to make sure that there was plenty of space for my bride who was going to come and move into our single wide. And so, being a thoughtful person, I got it all ready. I emptied out one little section of the closet and two drawers in the built-in, and I thought, we're good to go. The problem was, I was grossly underestimating the amount of stuff that my bride had. I mean, she had stuff and lots of stuff. She had clothes that were not sufficient to fit in one little section of the closet and two drawers. And not only did she have clothes, but she had art, and she had pillows, and she had quilts, and she had art, other stuff, like stuff in the bathroom I'd never even known existed that she wanted to put in there. There was all this stuff that she had, and instead of our move-in day being a celebration for the rest of our lives together, our move-in day for her was like an epic failure of her new husband because I didn't make room for her. I didn't make room for my new bride to move into our little home. It's a scene that should remind us of one of the scriptures that we've heard tonight. Do you know which one I'm talking about? Luke chapter 2, verse 7, where Luke writes about Mary that she wrapped the baby in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And I know it seems crazy to imagine that I hadn't been more thoughtful. You'd thought that the pastor in the premarital counseling would have gotten me ready for this moment, but I wasn't. But even more, in hindsight, to think that there was no room in the inn for the Christmas baby is even crazier. Because the arrival of that baby was and is and always will be a really big deal. I mean, just think about what you've heard tonight already and the scriptures that have been read about what's been taught and said about this baby. Mary was the first one she heard from the angel, and the angel said that your child, Mary, he will be great and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. Joseph, while he was sleeping, an angel appeared to him. And the angel told him, Joseph, what is conceived in Mary is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because He will save His people from their sins. And last, but certainly not least, the shepherds. Remember, the shepherds were told by the angel, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Wow. Was this an ordinary baby? No! No way! This was no ordinary baby. This baby was the promised one of God. He's the long-awaited Jewish Messiah, the one who would come and make things right. He's the true king of God's people, but he's not like any other king that had been before him, and there's no other king like him to follow. His reign lasts forever, and his kingdom never ends. And most people expected the Messiah, the Jewish Messiah, to set God's people free from the Roman oppressors. But this child came to do something much more significant and lasting than that. He came to be the Savior, the angel says. The one who would set his people free from their sins. And so he was given a very special name, the name Jesus. It means the Lord saves. The Lord saves. He saves us from sin. He saves from brokenness. He saves from despair. He saves from insignificance. He saves from loneliness. He saves from oppression. He saves from addiction. He saves from narcissism. And he saves from death. The Lord saves. And that's why this birth is good news of great joy. Because in Jesus, God has graciously initiated salvation. He's initiated redemption and renewal and restoration. And it's not just good news for the people who lived way back then. See, every person, you and me, all of us are created by God and loved by God. God made us in a special way to be in relationship with each other and in relationship with God. But the fact is that every single one of us has messed that up in one way or another. You know, we've tried to do things our way instead of God's way. We've hurt others. We've hurt ourselves. We've turned our backs on God's love. We've shaken our fists at Him in hatred. We've ignored the injustices of our world. We've learned bad habits from the generations before, and we've passed them on to our children. We've been selfish and mean and hurtful and arrogant and belittling, even to the people that we love the most. And all of that keeps us from living in and experiencing fully God's faithfulness and God's goodness and God's love. And no matter how we try, we will never be able to dig ourselves out of that hole. But God, in His grace and in His mercy, has intervened. This baby that we celebrate at Christmas isn't just the main character of a cute little story. This baby and his life is the most significant event in all of history. Not only is He Messiah, not only is He Savior, the Scriptures teach us that He is Emmanuel, God with us. He's God with skin on, come from the glory of heaven to the grit of the earth, come to show us perfectly who God is and how to live God's way, come to be the ultimate sacrifice, to die for our sakes, even on the cross, to take the penalty of our sinfulness on Himself so that anyone, and I mean anyone, no matter who they are or what they've done or what they've believed, anyone can be forgiven and set free and receive new life through faith in Him. He didn't stay dead either. He rose from the dead. He rose to life in absolute victory over sin and death. And He lives, even tonight, He lives working to bring everything under His lordship, working to make things right. He invites us now to participate in His epic story of redemption by entrusting our lives to Him. I mean, this is amazing news. And he didn't have to do any of that. He didn't have to do any of that. God could have simply destroyed his creation, or he could have started over somewhere else, or he could have just disengaged from it all. But he didn't. He didn't. And we know that because of the truth of this birth that we celebrate tonight. And the truth of lives that have been changed. This baby, he is Jesus. He is Christ. He is Messiah. He is Son of God, Son of the Most High. He is Savior. He is Lord. And he is Emmanuel, God with us. Hallelujah. His birth is good news of great joy, because today, a Savior has been born to you, even you. And yet, Luke's version of the story tells us that when the time came for the baby to be born, and I mean, I know that every mother in here knows that there is a time when the baby is to be born, right? The time is coming, whether you're ready or not. Here it comes. And when that time came for Mary in Bethlehem, she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. And since that little town was crowded because of the census, all the guest rooms were full, and there was no room for Emmanuel, God with us. And so they let him rest down where the animals would normally be kept. And they laid him there in a manger. Think about this. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords was lying in a feed trough. As I think about that, it's a good thing that we don't know the names of the homeowners where Jesus was born, because they would probably have gone down in history as the worst hosts of all time. You put Jesus in a manger. I mean, take a moment to imagine. Imagine with me the most prestigious person in the world that you can possibly imagine. And imagine if they were coming to your house to spend the night. Would you make them sleep on a cot at the front porch? No way! No way! You would make room. You'd sleep on the floor. You'd kick your kids out of their bedroom and make their rooms all nice for the guests. I mean, you would change your schedule. You would rearrange your life just for the chance to host that prestigious person. But on this night in Bethlehem, when the Savior was born, there was no room for him in the main part of the house. No room. Isn't that crazy? But it makes me think about me. And it makes me think about you. Is there room for Jesus in your house? Have you made room in your life for him? And I don't mean just like a little tidy section of your life, little Jesus box that fits nicely into a certain day of the week or a certain time of the year. Have you really made room? I mean, have you opened up your life to Jesus, the Christ, the Savior, Emmanuel, to be the Lord of your life? It isn't easy. I guess I should say it is easy, isn't it, to allow life to get cluttered with activity and in the midst of all that activity to forget the most important things. And tonight, for many of you, I get to be your CRO, the CRO of this organization, your chief reminding officer. Church, don't forget. Don't forget, no matter what's going on in your life, don't forget that God made room for you to experience deep, lasting life by sending the Son to be Emmanuel, God with us. And by God's grace, as you entrust your life to Jesus, you are called to participate in His redemption story. So may tonight be a reminder and an exhortation to you to make room for this new life to be at work in you and through you. Make room for the Savior, for His new life. And maybe you're a person who's here tonight, and maybe you're a person who's never made room in your life for Jesus. You're not a Christian, and you don't really want to be. And yet here you are. And perhaps tonight, even right now, there's something stirring in you. Something that's unsettled, or something that longs for more in life, or something that yearns for meaning, real meaning, or something that aches for truth. Friends, don't let that go tonight. That stirring isn't just the result of some bad figgy pudding. God is at work here tonight, friend. He is at work. And maybe it's Him inviting you to consider anew that this child named Jesus, the most significant person in all of history, really is Emmanuel, God with us. And that He really is a Savior that's been born to you, a Savior full of grace. You see, there's no standard that you have to meet to receive His deep, lasting life. None of us can earn what God has to give us in Jesus. Only receive. And so I invite you this Christmas, make room for the Savior in your life by believing in Him and entrusting your life to Him, and see what change, what new life He brings. Beloved, surely this is good news of great joy. A Savior has been born to us. And He is Jesus. He is Emmanuel, God with us. Let every heart prepare Him room. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank You. Thank You. Thank You for Your word. Thank You that You came, that You intervened. Thank You for Your grace and Your love. And oh God, tonight we celebrate Emmanuel, God with us. God, there is nothing more profound than God becoming flesh and bone for the sake of our salvation. Thank You. Help us, God, no matter what the circumstances of our life may be, to make room for You and for Your new life. Even now, God, as we give back to You our tithes and offerings, may this offering be a sign of our desire that You give us to make room. And would You use these gifts in our lives and this church to advance Your kingdom until You come again. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.